You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What's up? Welcome inside Studio 34, Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy executive and Mr. Sussman on the 1-2 all-in kid, Jake Seeley, joined the program next hour. No Matt Modica, he's on assignment. We sent him out to Las Vegas for the National Fantasy Baseball Championship. Good morning, Greg.
He's taking over everything. That's it. I see how it is.
Greg, you was over there.
I was here, man.
You was over there, Greg.
I was talking to you over there.
Yeah, you were
slyly put on the headphones, got in the mic, and that was it.
The music came on, and I was like, well, Bavona said you're in. And
that was it. I was sitting over there talking to you.
What's good with you, Greg?
Not much, man. You know, things are better. So you just try to... I have bills to pay, man.
I do, too. You ain't got no kids, do you?
Not that I know about.
Not yet.
Not that I know about, no. No kids at all. Fun show today.
Really?
Yeah.
We got Doc. We got Virginia.
Virginia, who you asked for Tracy for last week.
Yes.
And she made your dreams come true.
All right.
Virginia Zakas joins the program. Cut up toward the bottom of the hour. In hour number two, we'll have Ray Austin of the FCFL join us.
All right. That sounds like fun.
Yep. Forward defensive back for the Jets playing the XFL.
Okay.
The original one. Drafted by Parcells, Belichick. So he played for those guys. Now he's in charge of the FCFL. So that'd be cool to talk to him about
that's
that.
That's good. We've been doing those reads, so it's good to find out a little bit more information about that and that product over there. So
yep.
We can get ready for that upcoming endeavor. So Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep, absolutely. So that'll be really good to have Ray on, talk to him about what's really going on with the FCFL outside of what we know, the Fan Control Fantasy League, the fan tokens, all that good stuff. So
no doubt about it. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So we'll find out more when it comes to that. Now, couple of MLB notes we're going to get to. Certainly, we had some injuries last night.
What happened?
Steven Souza has a shoulder strain.
Wonderful.
And Carlos Carrasco got hit with a comebacker.
Oh,
where at? On the foot.
Okay, thank God it wasn't his face.
No, he has a left foot contusion now.
Yo, you're speaking of people getting hit by pitches,
yeah.
A comebacker. Didn't Robbie Ray get hit last year?
Did he?
That's a mistake.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay, all right, my bad.
He might have been.
I'd be careful at drafting people that got hit
by a
comeback.
You're very off of that. I know.
Yeah,
that.
that's not a good, because you could be scared.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be scared.
I wouldn't go back out there.
No way. Well.
And again, I probably would, because
they pay you enough money.
Yeah, I'd go back out there because their kids would be like, well, what are we going to eat?
Right.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're right.
So he was.
Let me go sacrifice myself.
So he was hit by a comebacker.
Robbie Ray Russ hit by a comebacker.
108 mile per hour line drive in the head in August.
You see?
You're out.
I'm out. And y'all should be out. Nobody's mentioned this. And here we coming up on one of the big draft weekends of the year. And nobody's mentioned this.
This is why they pay you the big bucks.
This is why they put me in the big situation. that big bucks part is not true at all.
This is why they pay you.
Yes, sometimes.
Yeah, so Corey actually is right. Robbie Ray. Think about Carlos Carrasco getting hit in the foot. Robbie Ray got hit in the head. 108 mile per hour line drive.
And people sitting up there bidding him up like everything is okay. That's very dangerous.
This is why he's the previously known as the fantasy executive. Stick around. More on FST. FNTSY when we come back.
The victories begin in January. The Fantasy Sports Writers Association named Roto Experts winners of two prime fantasy baseball awards. Tim McCullough and Scott Angle joined champion fantasy ranker Jake Seeley on the mountaintop, and now their triumphs are yours with the RotoExperts.com 2018 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. A full squad of high-profile winners such as Michael Florio and Joe Galina, they're here to help you take it all. Enter code FNTSY at checkout and join the Exclusive Edge Winners Club at RotoExperts.com.
One, two,
three to the four.
Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door.
Fantasy Factor, the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor, always this fun contest going on. And this year, Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby. Simply sign up and enter at FantasyFactor.com. I wanted to get your...
That's going to be fun, home run derby. I might sign up
for that. You might get in on that?
Yeah.
All right, it's free.
Depending on if I have the time.
It's probably very easy to enter. Probably doesn't take you much time.
I have a very busy schedule these next couple days, Mr. Sussman.
Please, do tell.
So, and I'm not going to... I can't reveal a lot of things I have going on, so my time is not in question in this scenario.
I have a very busy few days myself.
What you got going on?
I don't need to tell you.
Yeah, keep it to yourself. I understand that.
I'll tell you. I don't really care.
What's that?
What do we got? I got tomorrow. It's my sister's birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Going out to dinner. And then this weekend...
Your mom's coming up for this?
No, she's not.
Okay.
Going with my dad for the birthday. And then this weekend, I have two fantasy drafts with my BFFs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got the team BFF.
Two of those. I have a couple of parties I got to go to Saturday night.
Yeah.
Something I got to do Saturday during the day. It's a very long weekend. I'm going to be very tired on Monday.
Well, what time did you start on Monday?
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Dr. Dre is at the dough.
So what is your opinion on this? Like, you know, we're lucky that we have jobs, right? We haven't been hired by ESPN, but we're here. We have jobs. But do you think that we'd have a better chance of getting a job at ESPN if, like, we had failed miserably in the NFL?
Probably.
Yeah. Because, like, John Fox, like, we used to sit here at this table and be like, man, John Fox is this old curmudgeon that doesn't answer questions about injuries because, you know, he lives in 1947, and he's not allowed to do that. He isn't, you know, really very nice.
No.
He's not a really very good coach.
He's not
really good at offense. Not really good at defense. And somehow ESPN, who had laid off a bunch of people, found room in the budget for John Fox.
To do what?
To be an NFL talking head.
John Fox is easy on the camera.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's probably other people that are easier on the camera.
I understand what you're saying, but John Fox is easy on the camera. He's not working right now.
Ben McAdoo's probably easy on the camera.
Not with that crazy mustache.
It's a goatee now.
It's a goatee now. It's probably even worse now.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. John Fox is easy on the camera.
But Ben McAdoo's got the slick back hair, the gel.
Ben McAdoo Ben McAdoo look like somebody I wouldn't want my children around. I'm like, come over here and watch him. And then John Fox probably got some connects over that joint too.
Okay, so why not Jeff Fisher?
No, because Jeff Fisher doesn't seem like... Jeff Fisher brings a bad vibe with him.
John Fox doesn't?
I think not. I think John Fox is going to be a successful NFL talking head. Jeff Fisher is the kind of dude that you just don't want around. He bring the morale down.
All right, so here we go. So if you're sitting here, you're chilling in the crib, drinking a beer, watching SportsCenter after a game. You know, the game's over, NFL game's over, right? Yeah. So you just, for whatever reason, it's big games, you want it to turn on ESPN. I know it's rare you sit there, you watch SportsCenter, I get it. But game's over, big game, the Cowboys win, you turn on ESPN, you wanna just opine, you wanna listen and be and just lay in all this glory of this Cowboys win.
How about them Cowboys?
Right. And then John Fox comes on and gives his opinion. Do you care?
I would like to know what John Fox has to say from a former head coach point of view, somebody who's been in that situation. So I don't have no problem with Foxy getting up there and being. I mean, this man got to make money. You feel what I'm saying, Greg? So I don't have no problem with Foxy doing that.
Okay, so you there's no issue on your side.
No issue. I don't have no beef with Foxy.
Interesting. So they replace Herm Edwards and Eric Mangini.
But didn't Herm go get a gig?
Arizona State.
That's right.
He's not ready for that.
You don't think he is?
No.
All right, we'll see.
We will see. Speaking of new coaches, this is kind of irrelevant to ESPN. Speaking of new coaches, the Memphis Tigers have a new coach.
That's right. Your boy. Greg Penny Hardaway.
Yep.
Anthony Hardaway takes that head job at Memphis. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he should be able to do well there. Obviously, Memphis is a hotbed of AAU talent in Memphis. So if he can start getting those players in that area to come to that school, which if I'm not mistaken, that's Memphis State. The other one where Cal was at is like is like in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
So the Memphis State is more campus oriented. Memphis is a rough city, bro.
Well, he's at Memphis. He's at the one Cal was at.
He took over the big one. That's the one, the big one. That's a right downtown. That's a right downtown campus. You feel what
I'm
saying?
Oh, yeah. So basically, there's one of his kids, one of Penny's kids who he coached forever.
Yeah.
Went to Wichita State.
Yeah.
And Greg Mar- and basically Penny gets the job, and Greg Marshall's like, "All right, man, you want to go, you just go."
And he flipped him. Let him out. All right, that's cool.
And he flipped him, which was cool. Penny says there's a chance, and you know he's got a lot of violations going on. Larry Brown maybe come in as an assistant coach for Penny.
Larry Brown can't stay home, can he?
Mm-mm. You know, that personal life.
Yeah, Larry Brown, yeah. Something's
like an 80-year-old dude.
Coach basketball still.
Just like Atlanta Pool.
Nah, Larry Brown like to coach basketball. That's all he wants to do is coach basketball. Larry Brown will coach high school if you let him.
He has.
You're right, he has.
I think that's where he just was coaching high school.
So there you go right there. Larry Brown will be coaching CYO.
What? ESPN hired that guy.
Yeah, because Larry Brown want to be on the court teaching and developing youth in the game. That's Larry Brown's going to do that until they put him in, you know.
Out to pasture.
I wouldn't say that. He's not an animal.
But is Larry Brown's ideas, like, still relevant?
I think the fundamentals of the game. If you bring in Larry Brown and you want Larry Brown to help teach the fundamentals of the game, you probably don't really want him as the lead voice in the locker room because he's not going to be in touch with today's youth.
Yeah.
I agree. You are in touch with today's youth. I want that Beckham jersey out that corner.
Oh, it will be.
I want that jersey out that corner.
I'm sure you snap your fingers, it will happen.
All right. I want that Beckham jersey out that corner.
What else do you want?
I don't know what we're going to replace it with, though, but I want that Beckham jersey out that
corner. I'm sure we can find a Romo jersey somewhere.
I want this one right here over there, too. The Bleachers one.
You know what? I'm sure you point, it'll be like, studio manager, make this happen.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, Greggy. I'd be like, somebody come in there and do this for Greg. I want you to dictate the work to somebody.
Yeah.
Because I really want you to put your feet up, Greg.
So do I, man. Yeah, so,
I really
so
want
do
you
I.
to put your feet up.
I appreciate that. I do. I also was reading yesterday. All these quarterbacks have been working out, right? Like pro days. And
oh, your man! Look, I was impressed with Darnold yesterday.
He's good.
I was impressed
in the rain.
He was bad in that bowl game when I watched him, but he was out there. He was winging it yesterday. Arm strength, strong accuracy on the throws and stuff like that. I was very impressed with what I seen from Sam Darnold yesterday.
Yeah, he's gonna be number one overall pick.
I can see that happening after that performance.
He's going to be the number one overall pick. The first injury comes at 2. That's when it gets exciting.
That is when it gets exciting right there.
Yeah. So
they ain't just opened the door and walked in the studio, mm-hmm. spitting speeds,
hanging out. He, you can check out on the NBA Fantasy Channel today. Dane did a whole bunch of NBA fantasy videos today.
I love it. So shout out to Spitting Speeds.
Absolutely. Always check out the freestyle. It's on podcast, of course. Yeah. We do it live on YouTube here on Tuesdays. Of course, check out the podcast in all its forms, Fantasy Freestyle with Dane Martinez, the Spitting Speeds.
Spitting Speeds, the statistician, you know what I'm saying? So there you go right there.
Absolutely.
So what else we got, Greggy?
So,
let's just have a conversation this morning. We're not beholding to any format.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. What do you want what do you want to opine on, man?
What do I want to talk about?
Yeah. Floor's open, man.
What happened in the league last night? Because I was so busy, had some other stuff going on.
LeBron happened.
Did they beat the Raptors last night?
So they were down a lot by the Raptors, and then they went and came back to beat the Raptors. And LeBron just had like the most ridiculous night, dude. I corrected Dame before. For now, I don't want to get it wrong. So LeBron last night. Listen to this, Renee. LeBron had 35.
Yeah.
17 assists.
17 assists.
7 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
0 turnovers.
Wow.
Not one.
This is this man's 15th season. And he's who gets better in year 15?
And he hasn't missed a game.
And he hasn't, and you're right, he's played all the games
every
this
one.
Year. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to do about that. That dude is a freak of nature. And I keep telling people are not paying attention to him. It's another one coming right behind him. Bronny is dominating the AAU scene.
Sure.
And I mean, he's dominating the AAU scene. And I'm talking about 6-7 years from now, he's going to come into the NBA. Mm-hmm. His pops could still be the best player in the league. That's
true.
Crazy.
Toronto was up like 20 in this game.
And then Cleveland just came back on him.
LeBron.
Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, the whole thing.
Jordan Clarkson didn't really do anything. He had 4 points.
Okay.
It's frustrating. Larry Nance also didn't play in this one.
It had to be some complimentary pieces.
Kevin Love is back.
Kevin Love, that's right. That's right, my
Kevin
man.
Love's
Kevin
back.
Love is back.
23-12 for Kevin Love last night.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Green at 15.
Okay.
George Hill at 22.
Yeah.
So. Jose Calderon at 14.
Oh, remember, he was a terrible Nick.
A terrible Nick. Absolutely.
So, I don't know how y'all Nick fans do it.
Yeah, I don't know how we do it either.
Mm-mm.
I don't know how we do it either. By the way, we talked to Virginia coming up next.
Yeah.
We were going to get updates on all the Warriors.
Oh, that's good.
I did that. Thank you. I want to put that in for you.
Thank you, because that's my team.
It's your team. And yeah. I know the playoffs are coming quickly.
We got to be ready for the playoffs.
We got to be ready. You're in second place, so you stay there.
I think we're going to stay in second
place. We got to find out what's the deal with Steph and Durant and Klay, if they're going to be ready for the playoffs.
This season, would the Warriors have 11 games left?
Mm-hmm.
This is the most losses in the season that Steve Kerr has ever had. That's crazy. And they got like 18 losses.
We'll talk more with Virginia when we return. Inside Injuries is up next on Fantasy Sports Today.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Do you love watching your fantasy player score a winning touchdown? Now imagine you actually got to call that touchdown play. The Fan Control Football League is putting play calling in the hands of fans with real professional football players running the action. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
We are back here now on Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson and Greg Sussman here with you. And we are now joined from Inside Injuries. It's our friend Virginia Zakis. What's going on, Virginia?
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning?
We're doing very, very well. How are you?
Doing great.
Oh, look, you can't talk. Mike's not on.
Turn my microphone on, Greggy. Good morning, Virginia. How you doing? Oh, look at Virginia.
Good morning. Right.
The sun looks very nice behind you, Virginia.
Yeah, we got a nice day. It's cold, but at least it's sunny.
Okay, well, I hope the temperature gets okay. It's much better seeing you than it is to see Dr. A.
Thank you.
So there you go. Now, I'll start with baseball. I know you're going to want to talk about your Warriors. So
yeah, I want to talk about the Dubs.
So I'll talk about some baseball first here. Jose Abreu, a guy that I've been targeting here early in drafts, Virginia, hurt his hamstring the other night. Now, they said he's fine. He could be back playing by this weekend. What do you know and what are you saying about Jose Abreu?
So we're showing a grade one hamstring strain, which is the mildest of strains. Still comes with a 2-week optimal recovery time. He can probably play before then, but he needs to be careful. He said he felt it pinch before the game when he was warming up, and then he still decided to play on it. If he feels that again, he really needs to shut things down for about a week. So he's still a high injury risk, but this isn't too serious. If he takes a few days off, he should be okay by opening day.
All right, so there you go. Jose Abreu, take it easy for the next week or so. Opening day, of course, officially 1 week away. Corey, I know you're excited.
Oh, I can't wait for opening day. It's a high holy day on my calendar. Virginia, before we get into the Golden State Warriors, and I don't know if you noticed, that's my basketball team. I've been following them for a few years now. I would like to ask you about the Virginia Cavaliers.
Oh boy.
I'm still a little upset about it, but give me a few weeks and maybe I can talk about it.
All right. So I just wanted to let you know that I knew about that. I didn't know if you knew that I knew about that, but when Miss Tracy was on last week, we discussed that your connections to the University of Virginia. So I just felt that was a good time to remind you about that loss.
Yeah, I told everyone before it was bad news when we lost DeAndre Hunter. Unfortunately, I was right, but oh well.
Cool, understood. All right, so tell me about my guy, Steph Curry, one of the greats in the NBA. This is a guy that, you know, is my Golden State Warriors need him to win another championship, Virginia.
Yeah, it's not looking great for Steph Curry.
What?
We all know his. I know, shocking. We all know his history of ankle injuries starting back in 2011 when he had that pretty serious ligament reconstruction surgery. He's missed a lot of, missed 11 games in December with this injury. He's already missed, I believe, six so far. Once you sprain your ankle once, the ligaments just keep stretching out and you're more and more prone to future sprains. That's where we are right now with him. I'm sure he's going to be back and he's going to try to play during the playoffs, but it's just, it's not going to take much for him to tweak that ankle again. He's high risk. We're showing that he's going to be high risk throughout the rest of the season. So not a great situation here, unfortunately.
Gee, so Steph, what's interesting here, Corey, when it comes to Steph Curry, was that like he was supposed to be the first one back. I mean, he can play as soon as this weekend, I was told, when it comes to Curry. So not exactly encouraging news from Virginia.
No, but basically what Virginia is saying, that he's going to come back, obviously, because he wants to get back with the team and get back out there and try to make this last push to get the top seed. But it sounds like it'd be very easy for him to sprain his ankle again. Is there any way that he can permanently fix this?
It's definitely possible that he'll undergo another surgery during the off season, because I think he's had at least maybe 4 or 5 sprains this year, 2 that we know are pretty serious. So he could undergo surgery to try to strengthen those ligaments and repair any ligament damage in his ankle. But just because of his long injury history, realistically, he'll probably continue to have problems, just maybe not to the extent that he did this season.
All right. So we'll get back to the Warriors in a moment. It is 1 week away from baseball season. We got baseball drafts, of course, going on this weekend. And one of the most popular names that I have heard and getting texts about and stuff is Michael Conforto of the Mets, because he got off to the start like Aaron Judge did last year, gets hurt in the most Mets way ever, and then really like, destroys his shoulder. And you had heard May 1st he'd be back, but he's playing in games already. He had a couple of home runs, and like, whoa. And now, of course, Met fans and fantasy owners alike are like, I'm all enticed now about Michael Conforto. I can get into this. I'm excited about this. And I'm like, wait a minute. This dude plays for the Mets. Like, why are we doing the injury optimism thing when it comes to the Mets? How optimistic are you with Michael Conforto, Virginia?
Well, so far things have gone as planned in his recovery from the shoulder surgery. He's about to hit our optimal recovery time, which is great, in line with him playing in minor league games. We're even showing he could be ready to return to the lineup in late April. But with him, it's important to remember his history of injuries, as, like you said, with many Mets players. Before he had a shoulder injury last year, he had issues with his thumb, hand, back, and hamstring. So even though his recovery from this surgery is going well, there still are plenty of other concerns. So we still have him as a high injury risk, and I think he's going to stay that way at least for the next few months, even if he's playing, you know, 5-6 games a week and is playing well.
All right, so there you go right there.
Talking about Virginia Zagas, inside injuries, of course. Where is Dr. A? Where in the world is Dr. A right now?
Yeah, where is Dr. A, Virginia?
I have no idea this time, actually.
This is ridiculous. This man goes on more European vacations than Mr. Greg.
It's true. It's true.
Which is very hard to do. You know, Virginia, I don't know. Me and Dr. A chilled at Dr. A's suite in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium all this past year. You knew that?
Yeah, I did. I did hear that.
All right, cool. Me and Dr. A is boys like that, so I just want you to know that. Anyway, let me ask you about my other Golden State Warrior, Steph Curry's splash brother, Klay Thompson.
Yeah, so when news came out that he fractured his right thumb, reports were that he'd only be out a couple weeks. It's just not realistic. It's the thumb on his shooting hand. It's the most important finger for him. We're showing he needs between 8 and 14 weeks to fully recover. Obviously, I don't think he's going to stay out that long, but he's going to be at a higher risk of re-injury, and it's definitely going to affect his performance. Right now, we're showing a poor health performance factor, which is as bad as it can get. So if he were to try to play, you know, in the next week or two, his thumb would really affect him out there. It's not a good idea. You really should wait until the playoffs start in May.
I agree with you, Virginia. He probably should wait till the playoffs start. Now, you know how it's very easy to injure your thumb as a basketball player, because I used to get my fingers jammed all the time.
I've done it many times myself as well.
Oh, you played ball too?
Yeah, unfortunately, I did. I played through college, actually. So I played a little basketball in my day, but yeah, I mean, unfortunately, even if he's feeling okay, it just is going to take, one little jam and he's going to be right back where he started.
Where'd you play at?
a school called Swanee up in Tennessee. Okay. Small school.
Cool. That's what's up.
There you go. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. Virginia is an athlete.
We'll get to the next Golden State Warrior here in a moment, but I want to go back to baseball. And Daniel Murphy already been announced. He is not going to be ready for opening day with the Washington Nationals. He's been a renaissance, but he had this major surgery back in the offseason on his knee, so it's no surprise that he's not ready to rock. How soon will it be before we see Daniel Murphy back on the field?
Well, I think it's going to be a while. So far, he's only been able to run on a treadmill. He's fielding ground balls, but only ones that are hit directly to him. So he hasn't even really started any real baseball moves, lateral movements. He's not swinging the bat at full speed. So it's looking like he's probably at least 8 weeks away. He hasn't hit his optimal recovery time yet. Once he hits that, that's when we think he can start, you know, really ramping up his workouts. But he's still pretty far away. Don't get your hopes up on him. Could be, you know, late May or June until we really see him. But until he really tests out that knee going full speed, we're not going to know how his recovery is going.
All right. So that's not good for Daniel Murphy either.
No, it's not good for Daniel Murphy. So I'd leave him off your draft board. Miss Virginia, these are two very big stars. I hope we can get to both of them. But let me ask you first about another member of my Golden State Warriors, Kevin Durant, the pride of Prince George County.
So he has an incomplete rib cartilage fracture. That means it's a pretty small fracture. We're showing a 6 week optimal recovery time. He can probably return to the lineup in 3 weeks and should be able to do pretty well. But the area of that fracture is going to be much more sensitive over the next 6 weeks.
All right, so you can go right there. This is a team that's beat up right now. Yep. You got Steph beat up. You got Clay beat up. You got Durant beat up. All stars, and this team is still going to win 60 games.
Yeah, isn't that insane? It's insane. Mm-hmm. We got 2 minutes before we got to hit the break. Corey, I want you to ask about the last superstar here in the NBA.
All right, thank you. Let me get this one right here is interesting, too. This Kyrie Irving thing, I think it's more than what the Celtics are letting on.
Yeah, definitely. They've been calling it knee soreness.
Yeah.
But he had pretty serious surgery back in 2015 for a fractured patella, so it's no surprise that he's having other issues with that same knee. It's more than soreness. There's two main things we're looking at here. Could be patellar tendonitis, a chronic issue for him, which would be something that could affect him for the rest of his career. It could also be that there's screws in his knee from surgery that are causing some irritation and inflammation, in which case he could undergo surgery to have those removed. The question would then be, does he decide to go ahead and have surgery now and shut things down for the season, or does he try to just manage the pain and make it through the postseason and then undergo surgery after?
Yeah,
It'll affect his... And it's not a great situation either way.
Yeah, and my guess is he's going to try to play through the playoffs and get surgery in the offseason. I think we should have Virginia over Dr. A.
Sure.
I think that's the way I want to go about it.
Well, then you won't get in the suite anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My bad, Virginia.
And maybe Virginia can bring you to Virginia Cavalier games if that interests you.
Yeah, that's I want to be in that suite though. So we rotate, but I just want to keep my relationship with Dr. A strong enough to get in the suite. But other than that, Virginia, you're my go-to medical person right now.
Thank you,
Corey.
Virginia Zach is Inside Injuries. We appreciate the time as always. I'll talk to somebody next week. All right,
thanks,
cool.
Guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a break. We'll come back. March Madness is back. Tonight, the Sweet 16 begins. We'll talk about it next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back with you on FST, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I don't know if you noticed this in last segment with Virginia.
Yeah.
She was blushing. I don't know if you noticed that.
Alongside Corey Parson, the St. Lunatic, Jake Seeley.
Look at that, Greg.
How about that?
All right, cool.
I'm Greg Sussman.
Also, the commercial that we was playing in the break with you met with our buddy Danny Okers talking about the pops.
Yeah. Popping off.
Yeah, popping off that program.
Yes, sir.
We're going to need Danny to get a girlfriend and stop messing with them things over there.
I believe on the show that he's tried. I was talking to his co-host, Ashley.
Who did not speak to me this morning.
Sorry, she was working, probably.
She didn't speak to me this morning when I came in the building. I came in the room and spoke to everybody. Ashley didn't even raise her head to acknowledge the fantasy executive.
So anyway, you're not the fantasy executive. Your name is Corey. Your name is Corey Parson.
My name is Corey Parson.
That's right.
You're right, but
excuse me, Corey.
Oh, there you go, Ashley Abreu. There you go.
With all the attitude this morning.
No, Ashley, when I came on the fourth floor,
you were just sashaying left and right.
I was not sashaying. I don't sashay. I strut. Ashley,
me. I'm sorry. Let's correct that one.
Yes, I was strutting. And I spoke to everybody, and you did not say one word to me.
Well, you know, I do apologize for working, Corey. I try.
Everybody else at the time to acknowledge my presence. You, on the other hand, decided that you were too good to acknowledge my presence. You was acting light skin again.
I'm acting light skin.
Yes,
light skin.
Yep, that's what
you
would do.
Don't you ever accuse me of that. Don't worry, I'll get a belt every single time you come in. I'll do like a whole party, throw some confetti in the air. Maybe that'll make you feel
that,
good.
That would help my ego. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Now hold on, Ashley, stay with us. You were talking about Danny needing a girlfriend. You hear about this one popping off? I believe they had an episode all about this.
I didn't catch that one. I catch most of them. I did not catch that episode.
Ashley, right? You had an episode about finally getting a girlfriend, right?
Right. So we set up a Tinder for him, and he swiped right. I believe it is white, right or left?
I don't know.
Right? All right. 500 swipes. You want to guess how many he got in return?
How many?
Guess.
Zero.
About nice. Three.
Oh, about geez. Three? Well, that's good. You know what I'm saying? So out of these three young ladies, what did, have we made a connection yet?
No, not at all. We're still waiting.
So next episode, will you try another 500?
Yeah, we could do that. Right. Why not?
Maybe Corey will catch that one.
Oh, boy.
You give Danny some dating tips, Corey.
You know, hey, Ashley, Danny don't need no dating tips from me. You know what I'm saying? Cause
just
that,
a little bit, you know, sprinkle something on him, help him out.
Nah, you don't want to date like how I date. It's not traditional.
I don't know, Ashley, I think he probably should take the dating tips from you. Like, you're in a successful relationship.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I've tried. Honestly, I really have tried, but boys will be boys, you know? You guys have your own logic.
Mm. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ashley. Excuse me. Where's Jake at?
I think Jake's having some connection issues.
Okay, because I know I saw him up there.
Yeah, Jake's having some connection issues.
All right, let's go. What we got, Greggy?
We got March Madness, man. It's back. Sweet 16 is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna be watching? You in?
I'll be catching some of the action tonight. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be some games that we're looking forward to. So we got Thursday. So we got down from 60.
Two games tonight.
Yep.
Or four games tonight. Four games tonight. Tomorrow.
So we got down from 64 to the Sweet 16. And by the time we get back on Monday, the Final Four will be set.
That's right.
So looking forward to this weekend.
All right. First game up tonight. It's Loyola Chicago, 30-5 on the year against Nevada. The Wolfpack in the house.
Wolfpack, shout out to, that's not North Carolina State, but
different Wolfpack.
So different Wolfpack right here. So these are teams that both were in comeback mode throughout the first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament. This one right here is going to be tough. One thing, Nevada is a scrappy bunch, but like Loyola Chicago has kind of has this Cinderella thing going for them, and this, I think Loyola Chicago is going to be able to pull this one off also.
I think so too. I like Loyola Chicago as well. Jakey, what's going on, man?
What was that?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm fine. Sorry, trying to figure out this stuff.
All right, no problem. We're just talking about Sweet 16 is live. We are back with March Madness tonight. The first game, Loyola, Chicago, Nevada. Will you be watching? Do you have a lean?
Do I have a lean?
Yes. Are you, someone that you like in this game?
I'm sorry, I don't know the terminology. No, I'll be watching. I don't have a lean in this game.
What are you making fun of me, Brett?
If you would ask me do you have a lean, I'd have been like, yes, a team I'm leaning towards. I think Jake is giving you a hard time. That's what I really think. I feel like Jake's giving you a hard time. Because you started with him last week on the haircut.
Right.
You started the haircut thing last week, and I think he's getting back at you.
He knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's try this one. Jake, the other game, a little bit later on, 7:30-ish, you got Michigan, you got A&M. Michigan hasn't lost a game in like a month. A&M super hot after blowing out, let me repeat that, blowing out the North Carolina Tar Heels.
And Maryland didn't make the tournament.
No.
Again.
Or the NIT. Yeah, so Michigan, A&M, should be a good one tonight. Jake, who do you like in that one?
I don't have a slant or angle or offset or whatever. I had Michigan beating UNC anyway, so I'll be sticking with Michigan.
All right, it makes sense. As I look at the Vegas odds, by the way, tonight you had Nevada open as a 2.5-point favorite that is now down to 1.5. So people are off.
That's going to be a tough game. I would leave that off.
And then Michigan started as a 3.5-point favorite that's down to 2.5 now. Who you like there, Corey?
I like Michigan. I think Michigan takes it. I think Michigan can take it to these dudes tonight, to be honest with you.
I agree with you. As we continue on, Sweet 16. In that region up top, the Virginia Cavalier region, you got Kansas State, who took out UMBC. They face Kentucky. Kentucky team favored by 5.5.
This is me. Cal got that joint rolling right now. He got that joint rocking. Those kids, that group is starting to come together. They're playing good basketball. I think Kentucky's going to go ahead and take these dudes out. So I'm looking at the Wildcats to get past KSU in this one. But KSU is tough too, though. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I think Kentucky is starting to come together. I think Kentucky's going to the Final Four.
You know what's crazy?
It'll get taken away from them years later. But for the time being, they're going to the Final Four.
If Arizona would have won in the first round, right? And Kentucky would have won. They would have faced the Wildcats in the first, Wildcats in the second, Wildcats this time.
Wow, they got too many colleges call themselves the Wildcats.
Seems that way, yeah. A lot of Wildcats. Jakey, Kentucky, Kansas State. You like Kansas State or you like Kentucky?
Don't really care. I got no input on this one.
Alrighty.
Jake, let me ask you this. If you had a child that was going to play big-time college basketball, would you let them play for Coach Cal?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, I agree. Well, because, you know,
I would encourage him to play with Coach Cal.
Yeah, because I think
the goal is to get to the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. The goal is to get to the NBA. But I think John Calipari is a good dude. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I know I think scandal has followed him everywhere he's gone. But the thing about Coach Cal, when scandal follows Coach Cal, it's kind of like, listen, what do you want me to do? I'm just playing the game, people. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, I can respect that.
So you respect that? Is this fair to say you respect Coach Cal more than like Patino?
Yeah, I respect Coach Cal more than Patino. Patino is two-faced liar. You feel what I'm saying? While Coach Cal is like, okay, we did it. It's the way the system is set up. We did it, but whatever.
Patino's like too like Wall Street, like Slick Rick.
Yeah. Patino's very underhanded. Like Patino's a sketchy character.
Coach Cal's all out there.
Yeah, Coach
yeah,
Cal is like,
here's the bag. If you want it, take it. If you don't take it. Whatever.
Yep.
Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There you go right there. So I love it. I'm looking forward to it. And I want to see Coach Cal. I want to see them take down Villanova.
Yeah, that's what you want the finals to be. Kentucky Nova.
Yep.
All right. I like Jay Wright also. Yep. Jay Wright is suave.
Jay Wright is suave too. We haven't seen anything come out with Jay Wright yet and mm-mm. stuff like that. He has a strong recruiting base too, though. You know what I'm saying? Obviously in Philadelphia, and then he gets a lot of kids from the Jersey area too. Yep. But and he coaches them well, and it's his time right now.
Well,
he's doing his thing.
So he reminds me of Boeheim in that like he has a system and he recruits strictly for that system, and it works.
Yep.
That's it.
My man JQ go to you.
Final game of the evening tonight. Gonzaga, the 6.5-point favorites where it opened now at 5.5 in many places against Leonard Hamilton, who's almost 70 years old.
70 years and old. That's crazy that Leonard Hamilton is 70
crazy.
Years old.
And Florida State. Florida State, Gonzaga. Jakey, what are you thinking?
Again, don't care. I couldn't name anybody from either team.
Right, so what I tell you about the Seminoles, right? Seminoles is a senior laden team. They got a real deep bunch, and when you see these dudes that have been playing together for 3 and 4 years, these teams are very difficult to beat, especially at this time of year. But I think the Zags is going to be a little bit too much for them. But I think Florida State fights to the end.
All right, so yeah, I think it's going to be a good game as well. I think Gonzaga is going to be too much. I like Gonzaga here in this one. Corey, let's make some picks with the spread now. All right, let's do it with the spread. All right, Kentucky, Kansas State, 5.5. Five and a half. Kentucky's a 5.5-point favorite.
Take Kentucky.
I'll take Kentucky as well. Jake, you want to participate too?
Nope, because my picks are going to be worthless. I don't want to ruin anybody.
All right.
So I'll take Kentucky. Nevada is a 1.5-point favorite over the Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, I would leave this one off my ticket.
Yep.
I would leave this one off my ticket, to be honest with you. I don't want to steal nobody.
I'll take Loyola Chicago.
All right. Oh, that's nice right there.
Take Loyola Chicago.
All right.
All right. Next up, we got the Michigan Wolverines against A&M. This is a tough one. 2.5 points in favor of the Wolverines.
This is very tough too, but I'll take Michigan.
You take Michigan. I'll take Michigan too, but this is the one I'm most nervous about, I'd say.
No doubt.
This is gonna be the best game of the night. And then Gonzaga and Florida State, 5.5-point favorite of the Zags.
I take Florida State. I think Gonzaga get them. I think Gonzaga can get them by 3. I go Florida State. Gonzaga's going to have to fight for this one right here.
I think Florida State, too. I like that. I like this. We're pretty interesting. Do you, that
means go the other way.
How many people do you think that Gonzaga's nickname is like the Zags?
Yeah, a lot of people think Gonzaga's nickname is the Zags, but it's not.
No. Do you know what it is?
The Bulldogs.
There you go. Absolutely, yeah. It's not the Zags. I want to make that very, very clear.
No.
But people think it is.
It's the Pops. The Gonzaga Pops. And they come to the stadium, the arena, with them little toys that Danny be playing with.
Hold on to that one. He dance like he's at Sterling Shepherd's.
Yeah, he's dancing. The Odell Pop dance.
Yeah.
What's that on it? Oh, never mind. It's holding a joint.
What is this white powder? We'll take a break. We will come back with more right after this.
Calling all drivers, want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
Back with you here on Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's remind you that you can dominate DraftKings and FanDuel Major League Baseball contests this summer with Daily Roto's MLB projections and optimizer. Go to dailyroto.com/premiums and save 10% off with promo code FNTSY to use all the same tools and projections that Millionaire Maker winner Drew Dickmeyer uses. And the tools don't just work for football. This is the same site that Drew used for last year's top $550,000 live final finish. Head on over to dailyroto.com/premium, save 10% off with the promo code FNTSY, and see the results for yourself. We talked about it a bit yesterday, gentlemen, but Terrell Pryor is expected to choose between the Jets and the Seahawks. Proud of you.
Go. All right, so bet, if I'm Terrell Pryor and I'm choosing between the Jets and the Seahawks, I'm going to go play for the Seahawks because they got Russell Wilson. They don't have much else no more, but they got Russell Wilson. So I would go out there and play with them, and maybe they can start to get their thing together. I think he'll get more opportunities when it comes to the New York Jets. You know, their quarterback is probably going to be Baker Mayfield or something like that. So if I'm him, I go who give me the most money. You feel what I'm saying? Because why not? You know what I mean? Where would you rather live, in New York or Seattle? Probably New York.
Probably New York.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Where do you think Scott would rather live?
Seattle.
I can see that.
Yeah. Hey, Jake, you've been saying Seattle's a really good spot for Terrell Pryor for a while now. You think that's where he ends up?
I think if he's smart, that's where he ends up. So I would say yes. So if you're looking at the two teams, why would you want to go to the Jets unless the Jets are just going to blow the contract offer out the water? I mean, maybe they offer twice as much guaranteed than the Seahawks. It's going to be hard to turn that down. So I think that's all going to come down to if the money's close, he's going to Seattle.
I think so, too. I mean, when you have Russell Wilson throwing you the ball, you have Josh McCown or Teddy Bridgewater throwing you the ball. Speaking of Teddy Bridgewater, there's a really interesting response. He was like, all right, so we'll see you at OTAs after he signed the contract. And he's like, I'm not sure what the plan is yet. Jake, what the hell does that mean? He backed up Case Keenum late in the year. He played in an NFL game. He's not sure he's going to be ready for OTAs? What?
No, I don't think he knows what the plan is for the Jets. I think the Jets, they said as soon as they signed McCown, the depth chart as of today is McCown then Bridgewater.
Right.
I don't think that makes a lot of sense because he didn't sign Bridgewater hoping to not find. They wanted to find a diamond in the rough type situation where like you get this value, you get somebody who's been injured and maybe he finally comes through. And now you have a nice problem on your hands with whoever you draft the quarterback and you're sitting in the driver's seat like the Patriots are where you have two quarterbacks and you can trade one away for value or something like that. But I think they want him to be, but I think he's just admitting the fact that as of today, he doesn't even know if he's the starter.
Right, but even still, like, you got to show up at OTAs, man. You got to compete.
I don't think that's what he meant. I don't think he meant, like, he's not showing up to the OTAs.
I don't know. All right. Maybe I was wrong then. I'm just saying. I thought that was a weird comment by Teddy Bridgewater, Corey.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. They asked him, he's like, all right, we'll see you at OTAs. And he's like, I don't know what the plan is yet.
You don't know why? You know how much guaranteed money he got?
$500,000.
That's disgusting.
Bad agent.
That is horrible. What the hell is going on? But he wrote something for the Players Tribune, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I gotta sit down and read that joint. Seemed like, at one point, it seemed like he was happy to be there, but I'd be teed off if I had $500,000 in guaranteed money and if I was a draft quarterback.
You haven't played in 3 years.
Nah, I'm not going for it. You're saying, how much guaranteed money Sam Bradford got? His knee's degenerative.
Bradford was playing in games.
$20 million. Are you
Bradford has thrown for 20 touchdowns. Bradford has thrown for 4,000 yards. He's played in games. Teddy Bridgewater has not played in 3 years.
Mm-mm. If I'm Bridgewater, I'm ticked. Mm-mm. I don't like it at all.
I'm not. That's what the situation is.
I mean, I feel what you're saying, Jake, but if I
don't know, man. Like, you don't think so? He could have gotten, like, even
a mil?
AJ McCarron made, like, $10 million.
How come he's not on another team with guaranteed $2 million?
I agree.
Because
I don't know.
Nobody was giving it to him.
Oh no! I feel like they rushed the judgment.
I think they did. I would have tried to get some more money.
No, it starts drying up left and right. He was supposed to potentially. We heard the rumors that he's potentially a backup plan to be a starter for a team, and then everybody signed quarterbacks and trading for it. He's not worth more than that.
Wow, that's not a nice thing to say about him.
Let's get into some baseball in hour number two. Baseball. Oh, God. Where are we going from opening day, man? We had drafts this weekend.
All right, I'm down with that. Whatever, Greg, you driving the ship.
For now. Stick around. More of FST on FNTSY.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network is live. We're hanging out. That's Corey Parson. That's Jake Seeley. I'm Greg Sussman. Opening day is officially 1 week away.
No doubt about it. Baseball started a little bit early this year. Started on Thursday, so next Thursday, the Yankees will begin their quest for their 28th World Championship.
I hope they get it.
I hope they do, too.
How many games do you go to a year?
I try to go to at least two or three games a year.
At least two or three games a year. That's cool. The first game of the day on opening day, I believe all teams are playing.
And I think this is the first time this ever happened.
I agree with that. Is the Chicago Cubs at the Miami Marlins.
Real barn burner.
Jake, I know you're annoyed about the starting on Thursday or whatever, but like, how do you start off with the Marlins and the Cubs in Miami? How is that the first game?
I have no answer for you. I really don't. This is, I don't know. It should be like football, honestly, where the first game is at least the champion playing,
right,
you know, somebody that was in the playoffs or even runner-ups. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have the World Series champion, especially if it's a West Coast team or something like that, but you should at least have two playoff teams. You shouldn't have one playoff team. And no matter what happened, even if you set the schedule during the season last year, you knew the Marlins weren't going to be anything
right
worthy of note on opening day, right, let alone at any point in the season.
Yeah, so this is crazy to me. Like, they should have switched some stuff up because I can't do Cubs, Marlins, John Lester versus Jose Urena. Like,
yeah,
I can't,
that's the first baseball game of the year.
Like, at least later in the day.
Once again, Major League Baseball makes a mistake with their television program.
You're absolutely right. Like, I'm looking at some of these games, they're all pretty terrible. But like the one good game is at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. You got Bumgarner versus Kershaw.
That's
like,
going to be a good
game. Like,
that's
a good game. That I'm excited to see. Bummy and Kershaw.
Yeah. I might even watch that.
Probably not.
Well, it goes back to the Thursday issue. Like, even if you were going to do this before, like, even if you were going to set this up, do it on a Monday. The whole reason opening day of baseball on a Monday works is because you take a 3-day weekend. Who's taking off Thursday in the middle? Like, then you use vacation for 2 days because you get to take Thursday and Friday off, or like either you go back to work on Friday. Like,
well, no,
the Thursday part is stupid.
No, here's the worst part about this, Jake. Like, this is the same thing that's happened in the past on the second day, right? So you have Thursday, right? You got to take Thursday off. I agree with what you just said. But you mentioned taking Thursday and Friday off. You don't need to take Friday off. And you know why? There is not a single day game on Friday. Not one. They are all at 7 o'clock or later. Are you kidding me? Like, we're getting right into baseball season where it's a Friday night. This is so stupid.
Why would
this
they?
Product.
This is ridiculous. Why would they not have day baseball on the
all
first
weekend,
Friday
all
of
weekend.
The season?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, have all day
games. What are they doing?
Games. I don't know. Man.
Because they're copying what they used to do on Mondays, but now they're just pushing it to Thursday.
But it used to bother me on the Tuesday, right? Like, I'm excited, my first day, my fantasy team, I got all these players going during the day, and then I have to wait until the next night to get more baseball?
This is a bad job by Major League
Baseball.
They're
doing it for
again.
Television. They understand people aren't around during the middle of the day. That's just what it is.
It's very stupid.
Baseball fans like to have baseball games on in the daytime.
100%. I love it.
Not during the regular season.
Oh, I disagree. I love it as a fan.
No, you can look at the attendance. People can't go. People can't take off work every day.
Let's talk more about this when we come back here. FST, FNTSY.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
I want to get back into this MLB stuff in a little bit. We got breaking news. Jake tweeted it. Jake texted me of it, and I just saw it on Twitter. I don't know why I didn't just trust Jake's text, which I did, but whatever. I saw it on Twitter afterwards. The Giants have traded away defensive captain Jason Pierre-Paul and their 2018 fourth-round pick to the Buccaneers for their third-round pick and their fourth-round pick. So they swap fourth rounders and they trade JPP away for a third, ultimately. Did I read that right? Jake, did I got that right or no?
Yeah, they got a third and moved back in the fourth.
They didn't move back far, though, right? They moved back fourth. Okay, so, but not that far, right? What pick do the Bucks have, Corey? Do you know?
If I'm not mistaken, Bucks have pick 11. I'm not sure 100% right off the top of my head. What pick Tampa Bay Buccaneers have.
All right, so they move back, let's say, 10 spots, give or take, right?
Mm-hmm.
They move back 10 spots. They get an extra third rounder, which is, you know, obviously very, very valuable, and they trade
freaking
away Jason Pierre-Paul. I'm sorry?
Nothing. Just this thing's got me ticked off, and I'm just trying to get the internet to work to find out where the Bucs are on top of it, so I'm just on this whatever.
All right. So, interesting. The Giants traded Jason Pierre-Paul away. Is Bradley Chubb now in play at number two? What's going on here, Jake? What's the plan?
That's what Schefter just tweeted. I don't give a. I was just about to say something on this network.
Why are you so angry? What's going on?
Because you traded Jason Pierre-Paul for a third.
Okay.
Jake,
this is exactly what D'Angelo Williams has been complaining about for years and warning everybody about. That Gettleman, if you're not part of his plan, or if you're not one of his players, I should say, because plan, whatever. If you're not one of his players, be forewarned, because you're probably going to find yourself out the door on a screwy whatever. I don't care that he was overpaid. We know he was overpaid. The fact is, you don't have the defensive line depth to trade away to Jason Pierre-Paul. I don't care if you do draft Bradley Chubb. You don't trade him also to only get a third. Forget the fourth rounder. Like you said, it's basically a swap. Tampa Bay, I think, is actually drafting sixth or seventh. So it's a few spots. Forget the fourth. It's just, you traded Jason Pierre-Paul for a third rounder pick. The free agency's done. It's not like you're clearing cap space to go get somebody that's helping this team. We knew this was coming. D'Angelo Williams has said it for years, and he's right. Gettleman is just a cold. He's a bastard.
So I don't know. Whoa.
Jake's fired up this morning. I love this. All right, so Ben. So basically, we know as soon as you said the trade, the first thing I said was that this is Gettleman. You know what I'm saying? More or less, this is a contract dump right here, trying to get rid of this big salary that JPP has. As far as him bringing back a third round pick for it, I don't know. I think you probably. I think JPP is washed, to be honest with you. But when Jake makes a point where they don't have the offensive, the defensive line depth to make this move, well, especially just for a third round pick.
Well, I also want to mention, though, for the first time, Giants going into a 3-4 rather than a 4-3. So Jason Pierre-Paul wasn't exactly, didn't have a spot.
Well, you can put him on. You can still put JPP on the edge in a 3-4.
I don't think
he was good. No, he was going to line up as off-ball linebacker.
And I don't think that's not his game.
Mm-mm. That's not his game right Mm-mm. there. As an off-ball linebacker.
It.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I
he
agree.
Can handle it, but it's not his. That's not his strength.
And it's a hybrid anyway. They're not this. They already said before they weren't going to fit. It's not going to be your classic 3-4. I mean, this might signal that they do more of a straight 3-4. And I don't know enough about Chubb that he definitely fits a 3-4 end. I mean, that's something to take into account, too. I don't know enough about defensive linemen. That's probably a question for Lisi or Emery. But the fact is, and I'm looking at it right now, Ben Volen just tweeted, they only saved $2 million in cap hit. It's $15 million of dead money.
Then why did he, then it sounded like he just didn't want JPP there.
You that only saved gentlemen.
Wait, hold on. How do you only save $2 million? How is that possible?
Because he's $2 million in cap savings, they have to take a $15 million dead cap hit when they trade him.
Mm-mm-mm. I don't know. I'm quite sure it's a method to the madness of Gettleman right here. This does, on the surface, it sounds like if they were going to make a move like this, the deal could have been a little bit better. But I think we need to see, need to get some more information.
And now they're
going to
sit at number two and take Chubb.
Yeah, they're going to
trade down for the haul that they could get from Denver or Buffalo.
Well, they could trade down to Denver and take Chubb. That's possible.
You don't know that for sure. They've actually, somebody just wrote an article today about it. Gettleman has never traded down just like Jerry Reese.
Correct. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, this is very surprising. Very surprising.
I don't know. So when you spin
you
this.
You got to do better than a third rounder.
When you spin this ahead.
I don't
ahead,
think you can.
See, but I feel what you're saying on this. But this is a done deal right here. But when you spin this ahead and you look forward and you look to this time next year.
Yeah.
The Odell in the Giants deal is going to be hell to pay. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that is going to be a deal. The Giants are not going to get that Odell deal done.
They have to. They
I don't want them to. You know that.
Jake doesn't want him to. Jake wants him to walk.
But that's who you should have traded.
Now your best defender is gone. Well, your second best defender, Landon Collins, is a better player. Your second best defender is gone, and your best offensive player.
Olivia Rivlin might be better than JPP at this point.
Okay, I can see that. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't grade out. He actually graded out worse last year.
Okay, I'm just saying maybe.
Yeah, but this is the thing that we said about Gettleman from the jump when he first got to the organization. You feel what I mean? Players can't stand him, and he does stuff like this, and he's going to try to take advantage. He's going to try to make it a dollar store organization.
All right. So ultimately, the Giants' third round pick is number 66 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Bucks had number 69 overall. So the Giants have two very, very early third round picks.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth, they dropped from 102 overall to 108. So they dropped six spots to move up to get that extra third round pick, which theoretically could be pretty valuable.
No, a third round pick in the NFL draft is a starter.
It should be. If all goes well, it should be. It's an early third round pick. Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Very, very interesting stuff there. I know Jake's obviously very, very upset with the Dave Gettleman. Training away a guy that he doesn't believe fits with James Betcher and with this team. If he doesn't fit, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're only saving $2 million of the cap this year. I have to imagine a lot more next year. It wasn't a good contract. I disagree with Jake. I think you have to re-sign Odell. I think you have no choice.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough. No. This is a situation.
We disagree, Jake. We're not going to fight.
This is a situation where you're going to where the New York Giants are. You know, I mean, so now if you're Odell right now, and you wake up this morning, you know what I'm saying? I just. Never mind. You wake up this morning and you see this move. Your first thought is, okay, this is going to be hell to pay with this team right now. So now you got both sides are going to come to the table already realizing that this is going to be a deal that's going to be very tough to get done.
Yeah.
I don't see an extension coming.
I agree.
I think this thing goes down to the deadline. He's probably going to be missing some time as far as holding out and stuff like that. So they're going to slap the tag on him, mm-hmm. and then it's going to get uglier and uglier and
100%.
Uglier. So this is if I'm Eli Manning, I want the hell away from this thing right now.
I don't. You're getting $20 million.
Yeah, that's true too. Eli, like, pay me. As long as I got mine, I'm good.
Yeah. Would you do the same thing?
Oh yeah. If I'm Eli, I'm like, I'm chilling.
Yeah.
Eli Manning came in the studio and was very mean to me.
He's very nice to you.
I don't like the way he treated me. To be honest,
he was very nice to you.
I don't like the way Eli came at me that day.
How was this about you? How are we doing? Why are we making this about you?
Sorry. It always kind of gets that. It yeah, it does.
Like Scott's always talking about the Seahawks.
That's
like,
the same thing.
I'm surprised you haven't heard, like, oh, the Seahawks are very interested in this deal. You know,
Oh, God, Scott, please. Seahawks are rebuilding, Scott. Leave it alone.
Yeah, so there you go. JPP, now a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have revamped their line. Vinny Curry's out there in Tampa Bay now Jake. Gerald McCoy's still out there. So this line in Tampa Bay should be pretty good.
Yeah, it should be, because they just got the Giants' second-best defender.
Yeah.
For a third-round pick.
But in today's day and age, if you first-round pick, second-round pick, you're not probably giving him up for a defensive end.
No, you're not.
Right?
Unless he's a pass rusher in his prime. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Which he is.
And has two hands. Is that too hard?
I don't think that really. I mean, he showed that he can still play. Jake, you think JPP's in his prime?
He still is. He's still young enough. He was their second best defender last year. He was their best defensive lineman. He actually graded out of Pro Football Focus pretty daggone well, even with the three missing fingers or whatever it is. The fact is, contract was a little bit, look, they paid too much to keep him because they couldn't afford to lose him at the time. Let's just move on from that. The contract was high, but even if you're seeing, well, look at what the contracts that we're getting this offseason. I'm not just talking about the offensive linemen. Look at either the defensive linemen that are getting contracts this offseason. The JPP is honestly, in comparison, not that overpaid.
I agree with that. Well, what I'm trying to understand, maybe Jake, you can help me with this. The dead money, and you brought this up. Ben Volen said it first. $15 million of dead money, you're saving $2.5 million. So I don't necessarily get the reason for it. I mean, he's the extra third round pick, but like, you're only saving $2.5 million. That's the confusing part for me.
That's what I said at the top. Yeah. Is you're not even getting cap. Like, again, free agency's over. Like, it's basically there's nothing left out there. You're not picking anybody else up. It's just probably, like I said, this probably means they're not trading down, and now they're going to take Chubb with the number two pick, and just it's this like stupid ass organization.
I mean, you know, maybe you just cleared all the space for 2019. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe so.
Yeah, because you're going to be drafting the top five again. Good going, Giants.
Maybe you find your quarterback then, you know.
Yeah, we saw scouting for your quarterbacks for 2018.
That's supposed to be the best class ever, right? 2019?
They always.
That's what I'm saying.
This was supposed to be the best class ever.
This is going to be a good class. This is going to be a very good class. We have four quarterbacks going in the top 10. That's.
That doesn't mean they ain't going to be any good.
No, of course
I'm not going wrong. I will admit I was impressed with what I saw with Darnold yesterday.
They're talking about baseball. Travis Darnold. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. I got it mixed up. Travis Darnold.
All right, stick around.
Sam Darnold.
When we come back.
We got two first names.
We will be joined by Ray Austin of the FCFL, drafted by the Jets. Now is the VP of Football Ops. What is the FCFL? We will break it down for you when we come back on FST.
What's up, everybody? I'm Gabriel Moranci.
And I'm Cam Stewart.
Inviting you to join us weekdays at 4 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as we break down all the big games on a nightly basis. The Tony Cincotta joins us. I think he's cheating on his domestic partner, but they don't need to know, and neither does yours. Forget about bowling shoes. We're all about winners. Game Time Decisions Radio with Red Heat and Rage. Weekdays at 4 on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, we're going to get Ray Austin on the phone from the FCFL.
A lot of stuff to go through. Breakdown. There's a big trade in the NFL with the New York Giants. So, interesting to see how this one is going to play out. Giants shipping. JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Get a third round pick and more in return for it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We'll talk to Ray coming up in a little bit. The JPP trade, I did read this, which I sent to Jake during the break. They do save $2.5 million. That's it. $15 million in dead money, but they save $2.5 million this year with the cap.
Yep.
But it's huge because he's off the books. Instead of next year, 2019, he's got a $19.5 million cap next year. And I understand defensive ends are going for a lot of money. I do. And you need talent like that. I understand that. That's a lot of money.
I don't know. That is a lot of money. So it looks like, well, right now, you know, I feel like, you know, everybody's saying, okay, this is the Giants right here with the second pick. They get to go ahead and they get Chubb, younger, cheaper, you know, player, it projects to have more talent at this point. So It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for the New York Giants.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Jake is really upset about this.
He's so mad he left.
He tweeted this. Giants staying number two pick would be the most insane move of football season, including everything we're seeing from John Gruden.
I love when Jake is fired up.
He's very angry.
I love when Jake is fired up.
I wish
up
I could
like
read
this.
His text messages. You know, Jake's normally, he doesn't say anything he can't say.
No, Jake
he was dropping bombs in my text messages.
Jake is, it's not like me.
Mm-mm. No. You'll see. When your mic's,
I'll say it on the microphone.
Well, usually your mic's off, so.
Yeah. was good, would you?
Yeah, so that's kind of the deal with that. So, hey, Bavona, why don't we call Jake back here? Why don't we call Jake back? Because there's some baseball stuff I want to talk to Jake about as we wait for Ray Austin here.
Oh, I'm down with that.
You want to talk some baseball? All right. So I'll start with you here because
talking about this horrible baseball schedule.
I want to talk about the horrible. I want to talk about the horrible baseball schedule because that's what we're getting into. Because it really bothers me. And Jake was talking about before how it's. Because people don't show up at the stadiums in the middle of the day, which is true, right? Like, you have work, you're not showing up at the games in the middle of the day. There's a major attendance issue and whatnot. But when you talk about, like, digital and how people watch games, like, I have to imagine during the day is pretty good, Corey, right?
No, I think it makes no sense for them not to have any games on that Friday. You know, they've made this mistake a couple years in a row now, but they don't, where the day after opening day is no day baseball. Day baseball. One of the things that about when the baseball season starts, people tend to gather up. Like you said, they'll take a day off, play hooky from work, and take a day off and celebrate opening day and watch baseball. You feel what I'm saying? That day after, you want to do the same thing. I think it's a bad move. It's a poor look by Major League Baseball to screw this up. The schedule looks horrible so far. But then again, they don't get television right, baseball. They don't get it right, and that's why the sport is dying.
Jake?
Well, they get television right because people tune in at night during the day. That's the fact of it. If they wanted to do this, your point of doing Thursday, Friday, because they're starting on a Thursday and not a Monday,
right?
That makes sense. But if they're doing it on a Monday, that's what they've always done. They've had like one day game on Tuesday, and then as soon as Wednesday hits, that's pretty much it. Because people don't watch television during the day while they're at work. They're not watching the games. They're not going to the games. You can see the attendance. But to your point, if they wanted to make it a four-day opening weekend type of thing and split half the games on Thursday, half of them in the day, half the games on Friday, half the games in the day, that's fine. I'm not disagreeing that should have been if you're starting on Thursday, that should have been your plan. But if you're going back, if they were starting on Friday, if they're starting on Monday, no, that's pretty much it. After the first day of opening day baseball, the day is gone. You have about a handful of day games every single week on Thursdays. That's probably why they're doing the Thursday situation. And that's it. People already know that. People know Thursdays are possibly a work day to go out, take some company people out to the game, do stuff like that. But throughout the week, it just doesn't make sense. The attendance isn't there. The viewership isn't there. They'd be losing money left and right if they had day games every single day.
Yes, there's absolutely no question about that. You are correct 1,000% that if you had day games every single day, you would lose a S-ton of money, right? Like, obviously. But this is a little bit different. It's opening week. It's opening week. I'm excited. I want as much baseball as I can consume. And when you spread it out like it is on opening day, Thursday, I have baseball starting at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that goes all the way until 10 p.m. Eastern time when the last game starts. I have baseball at every hour of the day. I can turn on baseball. When I'm sitting here at work, it'll be on in the background. When I get home from work, I can turn it on. When I want to go to sleep, I can turn on baseball. Because I'm excited about baseball.
Baby, it's really going to put you to sleep. You're going to sleep like a baby.
But I'm excited about baseball on opening day.
Yeah.
Right? So then, on Friday, I want to be just as excited about baseball, right? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to, at work, check it out, you know, look at a box score, get home from work, turn it on, and then go to sleep watching baseball. That's
but
what
you
I want.
You got to wait till Friday night.
But I
got to
work.
That.
I got
to
wait till Friday night at 7:00. And by then, I'm not going to care anymore.
Now, I don't even not going to care anymore. You and Judy going to go to a fancy restaurant. You feel what I'm saying? And then y'all going to come home and make love. And then you're not even going to trip off it.
More than likely, I'll come home and I'll watch baseball and snore and go to sleep. more than likely.
Okay. There's no fooling me, Mr. Sussman.
It is what it is, man. So it's a bad job. I'm not asking them to do it all the time, Jake. I'm really not. I'm asking them to do it opening weekend. That's it. Like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, boom. On Monday, we start the regular season. All the night games where we sit here and we wax poetic about who to pick up and who to drop and who sucks and who's great. I just want 2 days with day baseball.
They should have just left it how it was.
Well, how it was last year, we had opened on Sunday night, and we had a full day of Monday, and then Tuesday we had like one or two games in the day, and the rest were at night.
Oh, yeah, there was day games and night games on Tuesday, though.
But there was just one or two. I want what we got on Thursday. I want that on Thursday, and I want it on a Friday.
Not like, that's not logistically possible.
What do you mean it's not logistically possible? Why?
Because of everything involved with it, and the money, and everything is saying. You can run it all you want.
2 days worth?
It's just, hey, look, baseball is doing what they do. They have the numbers. They know it works. There's a reason they didn't do it.
So, that's kind of how I feel about that, Corey. Do you, you want to opine here?
He doesn't know what we're talking about anymore.
Talking about baseball on the schedule, and you wanting that opening weekend. You want day baseball going on. I already said what I thought about it. I think it's a mistake. Everybody seems like they disagree. Well, you agree with me, Jake, don't. But I think that, at least for that opening weekend, I think it's a bad idea that Major League Baseball does this. And then it's no real marquee. Outside that Bumgarner and Kershaw, it's no real marquee pitching matchup on opening day. But that's
baseball can't control that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they can't control that. They can't control that.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about that.
No.
The Yankees play the Rays, right? Or Toronto. Yeah, the Yankees are in Toronto. The Yankees, America's baseball team, open up the season in Canada. What's that about?
I don't know.
It's not Canada.
You know the best thing, the best thing ever.
They're not allowed to open in baseball.
No. You see, this is what it is right here. This is why we got to figure out what's going on in this country. You feel what I'm saying? Because you can't have
baseball open in Toronto.
America's pastime,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
America's pastime. America's favorite baseball team is in Canada. What the hell is that?
I don't know, man.
America's favorite baseball team?
I thought we were making America great again.
I thought we were making America great again, but you're sending our favorite baseball team up to Canada for opening day.
Unbelievable.
Because
It's not Canada's pastime. It's America's pastime.
Yes, it is. Toronto's been around for plenty of years. They can have an opening day baseball game.
Okay.
But they're never supposed to have an opening day baseball game,
ever. They can have opening day in Toronto, but not with the Yankees.
Keep
the Yankees in America for opening day.
So the Yankees should have opening day home every
single
year.
Not home, in America.
At least be in America.
No.
Why is America's favorite baseball team in Canada on opening day?
It's not America's favorite baseball team. When's the last time the Yankees won a World Series?
That's not what it's about.
2009.
That's not what it's about. It's about people watching, people going to games, and Yankees.
Exactly.
And you're gonna draw a crowd to Toronto because the Yankees are coming. So let other teams benefit.
That does not help a single American economy. It doesn't help an economy of an American city.
Well, that's Toronto, the most racist thing you've ever said.
As cool as Toronto is, I love Toronto, but Toronto's not an American city.
Too bad.
I don't like it. I don't like it. We're giving it away. We're giving it away, Craig. We're giving away our America's pastime.
Unbelievable. We got to slap a tariff on that. Slap a tariff on that.
Look at this.
You want to play baseball in Toronto? Give us money.
Send the Red Sox up there.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the Red Sox.
Send the Red Sox
up there. Send the Phillies up there. Send the Braves up there. You know what I'm saying? Send the Orioles up there. But on opening day, let the Yankees be in America somewhere.
Not in New York. Let them play in Chicago.
Go to Wrigley Field.
Detroit.
Go to Houston.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The schedule makers got it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the schedule makers, one thing...
Did you ever see it? It's a documentary on the people that make the MLB schedule.
I saw the NFL one, the NFL schedule one. I'm MLB. I haven't seen the MLB one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really interesting topic. So I'm in on it.
Yeah, no, because you in order to make, especially baseball with 30-something teams and 162 games, your math has to be like, your brain has to be, you have to be very smart. To do
wired
this.
For mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I don't think the baseball people, they may go to a different system now, but it was a husband and wife that did it.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that for years.
For years. It was a husband and wife that made the Major League Baseball schedule.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they got paid for that.
Jake,
I bet you she took most of it.
The best thing that they lucked into was a couple of years ago when they randomly had the Royals and Mets opening. Like, that was so lucky and so awesome. Wish they could do that every year.
It'd be tough, but I don't see why they can't.
Yes.
Football does it. There's plenty of time. You have to schedule from the end of October until the beginning of April. That's 6 months of planning. It's really tough to get around to.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Sometime in May, the NFL is going to do like their schedule release show, and it's going to do a higher number than any baseball game on that night.
It's true. It's sad and true. I know you don't think it's sad, obviously.
It's life.
It's life. Yeah. All right, we'll try to get Ray Austin back here. And also got some baseball notes I want to talk to you about too, Jay. So let's do that when we come back. Stick around. There's
Eat
more.
Alive.
There's more coming your way on Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
When I was a little boy, this was my favorite song.
Really?
Yeah, another one, Bites the Dust.
That's cool.
Queen.
Yeah, that's a fact.
This was like before hip-hop became a thing.
Yeah.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. You know this lady that works out here? Juliana.
I knew this was coming.
I don't know what this lady. This lady got something against me. You know what I'm saying? Maybe because I'm so handsome. There's a reason why she don't like me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm over there talking to my homegirl, Kayla. We over here coming to come. See, on the lady, I shouldn't say her name on the radio because she's a private citizen. The lady, the manager of whatever, or the restaurant, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm over there talking to my homegirl, Kayla, right?
Yeah.
Just shooting the trash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Sure.
She on the
your friends.
She on the other side of the damn bar.
Right.
As soon as she see me come out, she started walking over towards me, like she's a police officer running me off the corner.
Maybe,
you feel, that's what I felt. I feel like she's a police officer running me off the corner. I don't think that the talent of this company should be treated like that by this lady right here.
Maybe she wanted to say good morning.
She did not want. She didn't say a word to me. As soon as I started walking away, she started walking away. That makes you're making the talent feel very uncomfortable when you do that.
Why don't you tell your boss?
I am going to tell my boss. I'm going to bring it up to him. I'm glad you mentioned that, Greg.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Corey thinks he's Scott. Just freaking out. I was about to say something else. Stephen A. Smith.
Listen, you got to in order to achieve it, you have to. If you can see it, you can be it.
Okay.
You let your boss know, and he'll say,
come on, boss, about it, because I don't think I should have to come to Studio 34 to be harassed.
Oh, so he'll just say, come get some.
So that's not my boss. I don't think I have to come to Studio 34 and be harassed.
I'm sorry.
Get a pair, Corey.
Especially when you're the talent of the organization.
Really are.
The talent.
Speaking of me being the talent.
Please.
The helmets. The rugby guy left the damn helmets on the floor.
Was not the rugby guy. I told you this yesterday.
Who put the helmets on the floor?
That was me.
Greg, what if I was to come in here and trip on fall over one of these helmets and have to miss work next week?
Why would you trip over the helmet?
Because I can't
celebrate.
Because I can't see. Because the helmets are over here on the floor. I'll come in here. I'm coming back from the restroom or whatever the case may be, or coming into the studio, and I trip on one of these helmets and I knock my head up against this TV. What's going to happen at that point, Greg?
You're probably making more money than you are now.
No, Greg. People don't know. They do not take care of me.
I'm sorry. But anyway, it's basketball season. We got NBA. We do stuff with the NBA. We want the NBA in the background.
Huh?
We wanted the NBA in the background. That's why with the helmet. That's why with the helmets on the ground.
I understand that. But if you put the helmets on the floor over there on your side.
All right, so move them.
No, you see what I'm saying? The helmets, 2 days in a row, I come over here and I'm stepping over helmets.
Mm-hmm. So move them.
We have to call somebody to come up here and move the helmets.
Please.
Ashley, come up here and move the helmets.
Why are you asking Ashley?
Bring some wipes for his ass while you're at it.
No, why are you asking Ashley? That's what I want to know.
I'm asking him because that's a part of Ashley's duties.
Is there something about Ashley that she has to work for you?
No, Ashley does not work for me.
Is that what it is?
Ashley does not work for me.
Are you calling her one of those people?
No, Ashley works for FNTSY, and I would like Ashley to come up here and move these helmets before I hurt myself.
Mm. It's not what it sounds like to me.
What does it sound like?
Hey, at least get them and call JPP, apparently.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
Jim Jones Sports just talked to JPP, said Gettleman called them to let him know to be traded to the Bucks. JPP said Gettleman told them it was an offer they couldn't refuse. He said he's happy he'll be closer to his son who lives in South Florida.
Oh, that's cool. That's handled it right.
That's what's up.
Handled
it good. You know what I'm saying? Today he'll pin a letter.
That's actually a step up, though. D'Angelo said Gettleman won't even talk to you. He'll just let you go. That's a step up.
Yeah, D'Angelo Williams can't stand this man. I just want you to know. If they're in the same building, Gettleman, you better watch out, Jack. Because D'Angelo Williams is not your friend. You feel what I'm saying? So he called them. JPP took it with class. So today he'll probably pin a letter to the New York fans and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
I need to get D'Angelo on here. We need to do a special show with him.
You know, D'Angelo Williams is in the media now, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we should get him in here.
Sure. And the Gettleman will be like, offer we couldn't refuse. We thank JPP, blah, blah, blah. We're going to draft Bradley Chubb because he's younger. And
I wouldn't be surprised if we had David Gettleman here at some point, too.
I agree. Mm. I expect we will.
Yeah, well, I think we will.
Just one of us, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, I expect Gettleman to be in here.
I'll grill him for you.
Will you?
Yeah, of course.
All right. That's all I can ask. All right.
Telephone calls. Yeah,
you need to answer?
I don't understand people that call me at work at this time. People that call me this time of morning.
You know what you can do?
I'm on the damn radio.
My telephone's downstairs.
Huh?
My phone's downstairs.
I can't leave my phone downstairs. What if somebody pick it up and go through
it? It's locked.
I have children, Greg. Something happened to one of my children. That's why I keep my telephone close to me.
I don't have children.
I have a high school age son. You know how stressful that is?
You don't seem very stressed.
I have a high school age son and a daughter in grade school.
That's the scary one, to be honest with you, which is sad.
Well, yeah. So everything is good though. So the kids are safe.
Come in tomorrow?
Excuse me?
You'll be here tomorrow?
I have some business I may have to take care of tomorrow.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Jake is not pleased with our response, it seems.
I have a friend that...
in need.
I have a friend that had a surgery.
You have a friend in need. I understand. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's all good, man. Get Roto Expert's exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package right now. This year's version is new and improved with more analysis than ever before, including an all-day Slack chat channel. Stats, projections, improved cheat sheet generator. Get rankings from the top-ranked analyst, Jake Seeley. Tips from award winner, Tim McCullough. And insights from Hall of Famer, Scott the King Engel. And enter code FNTSY at checkout. Get your Roto Expert's exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package right now. The promo code is... FNTSY. All right, Jakey. Let's get some baseball stuff. Am I too low on Lance McCullers? Like, I owned him last year, and I was in on the breakout, and I was all excited about Lance McCullers, and he was really good when he pitched, and then he came back from the injury, and he wasn't as good, and everybody's saying, you draft Lance McCullers, you gotta draft Brad Peacock, and I just find myself, like, just liking a lot more players than I do Lance McCullers. What do you think about Lance McCullers?
You just broke down Lance McCullers. I have nothing more to add to it, really. Right. He's going to be Lance McCullers when he pitches. When he's out, you just got to make concessions. I would handcuff him. This isn't fantasy football. And I'd like drafted Brad Peacock just because I drafted Lance McCullers. That's just, I don't believe in that, especially when it comes to fantasy baseball. But you draft him and you hope you get 160 innings. If you do, you're going to get a top 30 pitcher.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, Florio brought up the idea of Peacock. I kind of liked it. I like the idea of the handcuff. It was smart. Peacock's good.
No, I have no interest in doing that.
Where are you drafting? So, where did you say you're drafting Lance McCullers?
I didn't say where.
Well, can you tell me?
No, I can't. I can tell you he's 32 at pitchers.
All right, so he's 32 at pitchers. He's not in the top 30.
All kidding aside, saying where you would draft it is pointless. I hate doing this every single year. I'm not coming after you. I'm just saying, it's like, where would you take him? The 7th or 8th? It doesn't matter. You value the people, what's going on in the draft.
Okay.
No, I'm just trying to make it clear for everybody listening. You know, if 15 pitchers go in the first three rounds, what I tell you to wait until the 8th round for somebody isn't going to matter anymore.
You're 1,000% right with that. You're 1,000% right. That, like, I have a draft, and, like, I was talking to Mike and Frank. I'm like, where should I draft this first baseman? And they're like, oh, well, the 7th and 8th turn. I go, I might have to draft him in the 5th round, depending on how this draft is going. And you're right. It doesn't matter. As the guys go off the board, as my tiers get filled out, I got to make sure I get one of the tier. It does not matter when I get him. You're 1,000% right with that. Let me rephrase my question then. You have Lance McCullers ranked as your 32 ranked starting pitcher off the board. Is he somebody that you want this year?
I do, but I haven't gotten him.
Okay.
Surprisingly, he's always going earlier than I'm ready to take him. But he's in the same conversation. Like, he's right behind Alex Wood and Zach Godley. He's right in front of Jake Arrieta and Luke Weaver.
Okay, because that's basically exactly where I have him too. I have him right. I think it's a fair spot for him. Yeah.
So that's the thing. These pitchers are. I could keep going here. Like I would include Morton, Richards, Maeda, and that's probably where I would stop for that tier because the next two pitchers are Sonny Gray and Johnny Cueto. So you know, if you start getting in this range and then to go back the other direction, Kyle Hendricks and Luis Castillo, you know, you're in that range of pitchers. If six of them are gone, then you start thinking about taking Lance McCullers. If there's only one off the board, you could probably wait.
I have a little bit different the tier, a little bit different. Like I have Cueto, in that other tier with McCullers, but like. I get it. We're all around the same spot, and that makes sense. Lance McCullers is a guy that Jake likes, but has yet to like him enough to go out and draft him. Matt Modica guy was AJ Puck, who got hurt the other night, which kind of stinks.
I know. You don't want to get hurt before the season starts. That's bad business.
What was that, Jake?
Not a bicep. It's a bicep, too.
Shoulder, arm. That's not good.
He was going to be mid-season potential call-up anyway, and... that definitely hurts.
Yeah. Now, AJ Puck wasn't going to make the opening day roster, as Jake said, midseason call-up. But you want to bless you. But I want to remind you that
there was a cough.
Did he dab again?
I wasn't sure. I wanted to be polite. You know?
No, but you know when he sneezes. When he sneezes, he dab.
I know. With Oakland, I feel like all their starters are hurt. Like you know, outside of Sean Manaea, who you know will probably be hurt at some point. I feel bad for the Oakland Athletics right now.
Yeah, they're still less hurt than the Rays.
It's true. The Rays are brutalized the moment.
Rays have three pitchers to start the season.
It's ridiculous. Final time I'll ask you for the drafts this weekend. Where is Marcus Stroman ranked for you? Where did he finish off?
He's going to fall. He right now is 41. Some recent reports from people covering the team, it's sounding more dicey. I don't have Marcus Stroman anywhere. I'm not drafting him. I'm pushing him down even further now.
Okay, so you don't like Marcus Stroman. Okay.
No, I don't. I'm going to go down this list. I take Pomerantz, even the fact of his injury at this point over him, because he sounds fine. Porcello, his teammate. And then Jay Happ, Fulmer. I'd probably put him in that conversation at this point. It doesn't sound good from people that are covering the team.
All right. So I got to drop Stroman a little bit then behind
some of these guys. He might have 100 innings this season.
I like the way you have your stuff laid out.
Thank you.
And are you going to print this and take this to the BFF's drafts this week?
I'm going to bring the computer with me.
Okay. Yes. No reason to print it.
Yeah.
So to make sure you get that information that you're good. And then you got, you're hearing what Jake is telling you right now.
Yeah.
You can adjust and you got the BFFs. So I think you're going to be well prepared for your draft.
I appreciate that. So you like Aaron Sanchez more than Stroman? Is that fair to say? Jake?
I thought you were talking to Corey. Sorry, I missed the question.
Do you like Aaron Sanchez more than Marcus Stroman?
Slightly.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first 2 hours of FST. We'll get into the FST OT when we come back. Stick around more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
You don't need to take Friday off. You know why? There's not a single day game on Friday. Not one. They are all at 7 o'clock or later. Are you kidding me? Like, we're getting right into baseball season where it's a Friday night. This is so stupid.
This is ridiculous. Why would they not have day baseball on the
all
first
weekend,
Friday
all
of
weekend.
The season?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
what are
all
they
day
doing?
Games. I don't know.
Because they're copying what they used to do on Mondays, but now they're just pushing it to Thursday.
But they used to bother me on the Tuesday.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, Final Five, FST, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Did you know that it only takes 1 minute to potentially save someone's life? Seriously, just 1 minute. That's how long it takes to swab your cheeks and join the donor list with DKMS. There are currently over 900,000 registered donors in the U.S., and we need more. There's an American diagnosed every 30 minutes with blood cancer, and there can never be enough donors. For only $45, you can help DKMS register new bone marrow donors. DKMS donors will save approximately 19 lives a day, and we want you to help save one. Please, if you can, go to dkms.org/fntsy today to see how you can help. All right, Jake, you and I have a couple of baseball notes. What?
It's just you and I. Yeah. I'm just laughing.
Before we
four wrap straight hours of radio and stuff over here, and after an hour and 45 minutes, somebody needs a break.
All right, so Eduardo Escobar is expected to get most of the starts at shortstop in place of Jorge Polanco. Are you in on Eduardo Escobar?
I mean, for 15 teamer as a middle infielder, sure, but all he's going to do is maybe give you a little bit of runs, a little bit of RBIs and some pop, but that's about it. I mean, it's like I said, your typical 12 team might not even be drafted.
All right, so nothing to be excited about there then. Okay.
Not really big excited about it. He's a fill-in. Obviously, if you lost him or if you lost like Justin Turner and you have a utility spot or anything like that, I mean, he's probably going to be picked up by a lot of people for the injuries we've already had so far, but not this year. Daniel Murphy, there you go. If you're waiting for Daniel Murphy, Eduardo Escobar is your perfect opportunity to pick somebody up in the meantime.
All right, so there you go. That's a legitimate one, right? Daniel Murphy replacement, Jorge Polanco replacement. There you go with Eduardo Escobar. Finally, with Philadelphia, Carlos Santana in a good lineup is expected to hit second with Rhys Hoskins hitting fourth. Carlos Santana, obviously much more valuable in leagues that count OBP over average. Obviously very, very good for points leagues too. He's a name that after last year, I know I waxed a lot of poetic about him with Frank and Mike in regards to points leagues. Are you a Carlos Santana guy, Jake?
I am. I think he's actually underrated. People don't realize what he does, and especially he gets that boost in on-base percentage and points leagues, but he's still a great player overall. And if he's batting second and he's batting in this ballpark and in this lineup, he's not only going to get more help is what it is. I think that people forget that he's just a good player and just he's very productive when it comes to fantasy. Average isn't great, but you know you live with that with the all-around production that he can give you.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if you're the OBP league where, hey, everything's fine, right? So there's a lot of production here. He's still in a good stadium with Philadelphia, and I think batting in the two-hole, which is somewhere he hasn't really batted before in his career. He's batted leadoff, certainly, and in the middle of the order, but in the two-hole with Rhys Hoskins behind him, there's a lot to like there, so I think that's pretty good. Also, speaking of Rhys Hoskins, he's kind of lived up to the hype this spring.
He definitely, look, I don't think he lived up to the hype. I'd say that he is what he is. I think hype is not the best word because I don't know why people were trying to dismiss Rhys Hoskins. Has a better strikeout rate, has better numbers than Aaron Judge in the minors. For everybody that's all excited about Aaron Judge, well, guess what? If you go back and look at their track records and side by side, you took away the names, everybody would just assume that Rhys Hoskins' minor league career was Aaron Judge's. Wrong. Rhys Hoskins, better prospect, better tools, better all-around strikeout average on base percentage because he doesn't swing and miss as much. He could be as good, if not better, than Aaron Judge.
Bold statement there. So Rhys Hoskins going, you know, in that third, fourth round, obviously a good pick according to the all-in kids. That's one you definitely want to get in on, which, you know, you already knew about. Philadelphia, do you believe that they win over or under 80 games this year, Jake?
I wouldn't bet that. That's too close. I could see them being right around 500.
Yeah, I think so too. I know Arrieta is not exactly a favorite of the fantasy community right now, but I think in real life, I think it was a good signing for Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia is going the right direction, and I've decided I'm once again backing on Vinny Velasquez, so hopefully he stays healthy this year.
Yeah, I've been on him in a lot of places. The only thing that you have to be concerned about is his whip, but the strikeouts and the potential's there.
All right, hopefully let's get it done. All right, speaking of done, I'm done. Coming up next, Corey Parson, Jake Seeley. It's FST OTT here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. A fantastic time, and I'll see you a little bit later on for the BFFs. Bye, everybody.